What's going on, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice rankings and mailbag edition for week 9 of the NHL season. Pete Jensen here with you, joined by two great guests here. We got Nick Alberga from Sportsnet hopping back on. Also, Chris Meaney, another one of the best in the business from the FTN Network, FTN Bets, the whole deal, FTN Fantasy. We love having Chris on all the time to return the favor from hopping on his shows. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much. You forgot Shot Prop Master and Chris Meaney's profile there.
Heck yeah.
I don't know about that. What's going on, guys? Happy to be here as always. I don't know if the three of us have done a show together. I've done some stuff with Nick and done some stuff with Pete. So yeah, I'm a big smile on my face, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely the big three right now for fantasy universe here. So, and Chris, I mean, if there's any proof that fantasy translates to the prop market, it's Chris Meaney. So I'll back up what Nick said for sure. We got a big Thursday slate. We got a lot of trends around the league. I think some things have corrected themselves with the Colorado Avalanche, which is something we talked about a week ago, Nick, with their goaltending issues. Darcy Kemper's back. Nathan McKinnon's back. I know Kadri's a little banged up as of Thursday morning, but it looks like the secondary scoring for Colorado has ignited, and they look like one of the better teams in the league here.
Yeah, it was like a match made in heaven last night, boys, because I took the over and I took the Colorado Avalanche in the back-to-back for the New York Rangers, and then Adam Huska lets that first goal in, and you're like, yeah, we're going to get to about 15 goals tonight. So feeling good about the Avalanche, boys. I still have my wonders about their goaltending situation. The amount of equipment issues this year with Darcy Kemper is insane to me. He left last night again, but they're a well-oiled machine. And Chris, I was saying this to Pete last week. Like, if there's a year where Colorado needs to go all into the trade deadline, it's probably this one, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's two polarizing teams in Colorado and Toronto, like great regular seasons over the past couple of years. And if they have great regular, like nobody's going to be surprised if they have great regular seasons this year, like they are, and they finish maybe one or two in the NHL, it's all going to be about the playoffs for both of those squads. And I agree with you when it comes to the goaltending. I'm still not sold. They've been playing to a lot of overs. Of course, they can score better maybe than any team in the NHL. They get 7 goals in back-to-back games here now, but they've also had some issues defensively. But Pete, as you said off the top, they're starting to get healthier. They're starting to kind of take shape. This is the Avs team that we thought, but I do believe that they need to clean it up a little bit. You look over the last 2 weeks, Devon Taves leads the team in points. They are super deep. On the blue line, and they can come at you in waves. So, the Avs, Nick, are a pretty good bet on the over most times.
And it was definitely, we saw the Golden Knights have a vintage comeback. I mean, I think things will start to gravitate towards whether we're talking about Robin Lehner and Darcy Kemper or just the teams overall. Of course, when Vegas, I know Chris posted some futures the other day, updated Cup futures, and I couldn't help but look at Vegas, I think it was plus 950. I mean, that has to be one of the best ones out there when you consider they're probably going to get Jack Eichel back in the not too distant future. And also they might get him back a little sooner than expected. We saw last week, he was actually skating. I think it was in one of the Carolinas. So that's great to see. And you start to look at teams like Colorado and Vegas, like we thought they would be all along, starting to rise gradually to the top. But guys, when you look at the secondary scorers on the Avalanche, there are so many to choose from. Which one stands out? To me, Val Nichushkin has been the big one. Of course, he goes hand in hand with Nazem Kadri. I know you guys on Twitter were hyping up Logan O'Connor. There's Eric Johnson for Bangers Leagues. There's Alex Newhook. There are a lot to choose from. Who do you like the most out of the secondary guys for the Avs?
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. First and foremost, with Val Nichushkin, he's been on fire. Alex Newhook's got a goal in 3 straight games. Logan O'Connor, I think not many people know this, leads the NHL in shorthanded points right now. Like, the guy's buzzing. Ooh, nice. The toe drag shelf on Broadway. Like, I just love that type of theatrics. And I'm sure we'll get the Trevor Zegras as well. But Colorado has the depth. Again, still wonder about the goaltending, but I think they're providing a lot of value, Chris, right now when it comes to DFS and sort of you're in deeper leagues, like 16 team leagues, to pluck and play some guys. I would definitely look at Colorado right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that goal last night was phenomenal. And then what was it, 22 seconds later, he scored on a breakaway goal. I mean, he's got a lot of skill. It's just, like I said earlier, the Avs can come at you in waves. And interesting last night before the game, just taking a look at their lines, and they shuffled it up just a little bit. Of course, we know how powerful that top line can be with Mikko Rantanen, Nate MacKinnon, and Gabriel Landeskog. But yesterday, to start the game, they had Mikko Rantanen on that second line with Nazem Kadri. You put Nichushkin there, you can bump down Burakovsky, that third line, Logan O'Connor. So if anything happens to Kadri here, Logan O'Connor, I think even, you know, in deep league, sure. But in your standard 12-team formats, I mean, why not get a piece of this guy? He's got 5 points over his last five games. He's shooting the puck. He's playing a lot too. 17 minutes last night. He's got a couple games 2 weeks ago against the Preds. He played 19-29. He's got a couple games over the past few weeks where he's flirted with 18-19 minutes. You saw the skill. It was on full display yesterday too. So a lot of these guys, Pete, are completely available. I mean, Nichushkin's 30% owned. He's, you know, get some power play time inside the top six. Logan O'Connor, obviously, he's widely available at 6%, but Newhook 4%, and playing DFS, Pete, last night, Logan O'Connor was 3% owned in a contest with over 5,000 people. So not a lot of people are looking at those secondary and third pieces for the Avs, and I think that's a mistake because this is a high power team. 5-5 per 60, they're number two in the NHL in goals for.
Right, and let's not forget either about Pavel Francouz, as much as we're maybe riding a high after Kemper's nice return victory. It could be a drop of a hat, and then Francouz could come back and light the fantasy world on fire. So keep an eye on him. Definitely stash. He's not back yet. He's a lot better than guys like Justice and right Johansson. There have been some rocky performances there, but he's kind of waiting in the wings. And now it kind of masks it a little bit, right? That things are looking better with Kemper, but Kemper has not been a top 10 goalie in fantasy this year. We expect him to be there over time, but right now he's at 13 in our goalie rankings, and he's going to need to show us more here. I was high on him entering the year, but I'm becoming a cynic, I think, right now.
Connor Timmins, a first and a conditional pick for Darcy Kemper. And all that was made because, again, they didn't get Philip Grubauer. But boys, I have to ask you, and maybe the hockey world is still stunned by Trevor Zegras, what he pulled off. Meanie, are we not giving enough credit to Nathan MacKinnon's goal last night? Or are we just chalking it up to an AHL goalie? Like that was insane to me.
Yeah, it was a great goal. When MacKinnon scores those goals, like nobody really, whatever. It's like, you know, it's Nate. Yeah, it's MacKinnon. Yeah, he does this every other day. So it's fantastic. But yeah, it's electrifying. And Pete, I don't know, man, with Kemper, I'm a little nervous. I kind of lean with Nick. I mean, he just kind of talked about it briefly, but this is a guy who was a bust for me heading into the season. Love the team that he plays for. Has never really given a full season in the NHL. I mean, you go back and look, his injuries have kind of just, you know, plagued him a little bit. Plus, this is, you know, if you're playing in a team in a league with points leagues where you get points for saves, he's not getting a lot of shots against. And when you feel like this Avs team is going to be at full health, there's going to be a lot of moments where he's only seeing 20 to 25 shots a game. And if he lets in a couple, that really does ruin your ratios. So, I mean, I would consider selling high on him on name value alone, even though he's not, even though he hasn't been spectacular so far this season.
No, I hear you. And I think that with Kemper and, you know, the goalie market changes so quickly, like the Canucks make a coaching change and now Thatcher Demko is the hot commodity. So don't be afraid to cut the cord in a shallow league. But again, I still trust the Avalanche a heck of a lot more than teams like, you know, the Canucks, or, you know, people are all over Mackenzie Blackwood now after one good game and his shutout against the Flyers, one of the worst teams in the league. Hold your horses a little bit in most cases, and also be aware of that Dallas situation, because that's getting even more cloudy, right? As good as Ottinger's been, Holtby lets up some tough ones, and now Bishop might be coming back. So all of a sudden things change pretty quickly, right?
Something has to give, right, guys, when it comes to the goaltending situation, the Dallas Stars, maybe even the Colorado Avalanche. I wanted to pivot a bit to that game on Broadway, like, you know, back-to-back nights and, you know, hoping a speedy recovery again for JJ Kara. But two booming hits for Jacob Trouba, the New York Rangers. But that's the underlying story for me. Is he fantasy relevant again, Chris? Because you look at the numbers the last little while for Jacob Trouba. I don't know about you guys. I've been waiting a while for this guy to get back to 50-point Trouba from 18-19. 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points in the last 12. 5 goals in the last 8 games. And my favorite stat, boys, you'll love this. Back-to-back Gordie Howe hat-tricks, Meanie. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? You know, he's always been a pretty decent asset in terms of banger leagues, right? And hits and blocks, he usually provides a lot there. And, you know, I thought that was a pretty clean hit last night on McKenna. I mean, keep your head up. That's it, right? I mean, that's what you want from Jacob Trouba, and you hope that he can offer a little bit of offensive upside, which you alluded to. I mean, 6 goals on the season is probably more than what Rangers fans expected from him. And I'm looking right now in a league with hits and blocks, and this guy is a top 10 fantasy hockey defenseman. He's right there with Pietrangelo, Ekblad, Carlson, Morgan Rielly, Cale Makar, and he can provide a little bit more sandpaper than some of those guys. So from an offensive standpoint, I don't know if he can keep this up, but this Rangers team is loaded. I really like this squad. I think that they have 2 solid lines. Power play is good too. So he's getting some power play time. He's never going to get top unit, Pete, but this is a guy who, you know, if you're getting second unit, he's giving you a couple points here and there. He's going to be probably a top 30 fantasy defenseman the rest of the way.
Right. And he has a high ceiling from his days with the Winnipeg Jets, and he's great in bangers leagues for hits and blocks. He always has been, even when the scoring went completely dry. So you could say he's always been a high floor player. But yeah, I think to have that type of size, that type of physicality, and keep it within control, which he does the vast majority of the time. Of course, you know, these have been magnified because, you know, one led to a serious injury situation against Chicago, and then the one yesterday was against one of the best players and best teams in the league. So, of course, now everybody's coming after Trouba. But yes, Nick, I would roster Trouba again in most formats, unless it's a points only. But even in points only, he's starting to knock at the door here. And I don't care that he's not on first power play either. I think the Rangers have enough depth, and I like the way that they've changed their style of play a little bit. And part of it is Trouba getting back to his bread and butter here.
It seems like everything's happening in the Metro right now. Like, even the news with Jake Guentzel, boys, got me going. 13-game point streak, you know, correlation with Crosby. And then automatically the wheels are spinning as a fantasy owner. What do you do, guys? I'm sure you'll offer your advice here. I think we saw in practice the other day, Rodriguez, Crosby, Kapanen. And I think a guy like Jason Zucker is certainly a player that could be elevated in that lineup. I wouldn't overlook Zach Aston-Reese, but that, meaning that's a prime opportunity to play with Sidney Crosby. It's just so unfortunate that maybe one of the quieter stories in hockey, the way Jake Guentzel has been playing, will be shoved to the side for the next little while with his injury.
Yeah, you guys mentioned Shaw props earlier. I mean, this guy has been a favorite of ours over at FTN. Yeah, I mean, he started the season at 2.5 and then 3.5 plus money. I mean, you look at some of his games, 8 shots, 9, 7, 6 in his last 2. He had goals in 4 straight games. He was phenomenal against the Canucks the other night. He's one of the most underrated snipers in the league. I don't think a lot of people really give him credit. And I know Sidney Crosby, after that game against the Canucks where he had a hat trick, he was asked that question, like, what does Jake Guentzel provide? And then he's like, basically, how much time do you have? Like, this is a guy that can do a whole lot for you. I think a lot of people just view him as a sniper. He'll sit in those soft areas, but he'll go in the corners and get the puck too. So we'll have to keep an eye on this Penguins team. They've really dealt with injuries. They don't even have Evgeny Malkin yet. I know he's skating, he's close, but Evan Rodriguez had a game with 12 shots a couple weeks ago. It did come against the Habs, but he's a guy who's playing, you know, 18, 19, 20 minutes a game over the past couple weeks. He's still widely available. Anytime you're linked to Sid, as you said, Nick, I mean, it's the upside is there for some of these players. So Zucker's a good call. You know, he's been really quiet this season. He's another guy who likes to put the puck on the net. He showed some chemistry, you know, with Jeff Carter last year and a little bit this year, but he could move up that lineup. And Kapanen's got a lot of speed, Pete, where, you know, maybe he's just a DFS play in a 12-team league, probably nothing. But, you know, when we get into weeks where the Penguins play 4 games or they have a back-to-back or they play, you know, 3 to 4 to finish off a week, is probably a guy, Pete, that you're going to want to maybe stream.
Yeah, and Jeff Carter, I would stream as well. Dual eligible, he's about 30% rostered. He's got 5 points in his past 5 games, including 3 goals. And he, like Rodriguez, they're good standalone guys in deeper leagues. And of course, until Malkin comes back, now that Guentzel's out, these guys they'll get more power play action. They'll get more top line action, especially Rodriguez. And yeah, I've just been really impressed by Rodriguez. Rodriguez is one of those guys like Nichushkin who's near point per game himself. I wanted to mention 13 and 14 games for Nichushkin. Also, Sonny Milano. I feel like there are all these guys this year, more so than usual. Not no names. We know who these guys are. We've seen a lot of them through the years, but circumstantial breakout seasons for all of them. And I thought it was very cool to see Sonny Milano get so much recognition the other day after we had been hyping it up for weeks. It's been at least a month that we've been casually mentioning Sonny Milano and the upward rise of Trevor's Egress, right, guys? And then it just like went full blown all of a sudden the other night. And now Sonny Milano is one of the hottest pickups in all of fantasy. Meanwhile, a lot of people that have been listening to this show probably picked him up a week or two ago.
I came on the show for you to say Sonny from Massapequa. So take it away, Pete.
Yeah, Sonny. Good old Sonny, baby. That was last week when we made that connection. He's a high-end player. I thought it was great yesterday on TNT. Zegras said he's one of the most skilled players I've ever played with in my career. That shows he's always had the potential. Sonny Milano is going to be playing the Blue Jackets, his former team, on Thursday. Kind of cool under-the-radar storyline there. And then, you know, this is a guy that has played for the U.S. in the World Championship, former first-round pick, scored the between-the-legs goal years ago with those Blue Jackets, but was playing under Tortorella. So what was his offensive ceiling really going to be in a depth role? But now he's in the prime role, and he's in the prime of his career right now.
The Mob Boss, a five-game week here for the Anaheim Ducks, and that'll lead to my play later on, which we'll get to our bets over the weekend. But yeah, that combo specifically, it led me to ask people on Twitter, which is always fun, the most underrated line in the NHL. But first and foremost, the stats. 15 points over the past four games as we speak right now. Four-game point streak for both. Eight assists for Zegras. Eight shots on goal. Milano, three goals and four assists, the game-winning goal. I love the fact that he yells the Michigan at Zegras. And again, mind-numbing goal. Some of the lines being thrown at me, Greenway, Eriksson, Ek, Foligno, Meyer, Couture, Dahlin, Robertson, Hintz, Pavelski are on a different planet right now, guys. Bertuzzi, Larkin, Raymond. I laughed at this one. Ottinger, Holtby, and Bishop as a line that made me laugh, so I included it. And Granlund, Duchesne, and Forsberg. There's a lot of lines, Chris, in general, boys, that are just not getting the attention I think they deserve. Like, I tweeted out last night about the Robertson line, and somebody told me to go to bed, which I took offense with.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What's... Okay. It's a pretty good. Yeah. Twitter. Yeah. In a nutshell right there. I mean, that's a pretty good line. You mentioned a lot of great lines there. Yeah. I mean, that Ducks one is still another line that's widely available. I mean, you guys have been talking about, maybe you need to talk them up a little bit more, Pete. I mean, 37% ownership for Sonny and Yahoo, and Raquel is another guy on that list. I mean, 38 shots, 19 points. And they're all riding four-game point streaks heading into a prime matchup against the Blue Jackets tonight. One of the lines that you mentioned, I mean, I like all of them. I really do like that Robertson, Hintz, Pavelski line. I mean, they've been awesome. The Nashville line, how about like Granlund and Duchesne and Forsberg, right? Crazy. Forsberg's playing for a new contract. Yeah, I think if you were the Preds front office, you're a Preds fan, you're really just like, oh man, can one of Granlund or Duchesne do anything? Like, just one of them bounce back, and both of them are bouncing back. Granlund's been about plus 185 for an assist over the last 3 weeks. He's like third or fourth in the NHL in helpers. He's got like a couple games over the past 2 weeks where he's had four assists in each game. Forsberg is shooting the puck, and Duchesne is playing with a lot of confidence. He looks like the guy to me that was with the Sens for the year and a half or so, when he was basically a point per game player. He was a top 10 fantasy hockey center. He was contributing all over the place. He's getting a lot of ice time. Yeah, it is crazy, Pete. These guys are playing with a ton of confidence. I watched the past three games, and they just lived in the offensive zone. The chemistry is off the charts with these guys. Granlund, usually a pass first guy, but he's not afraid to shoot the puck. And from a shot prop standpoint, Duchesne and Forsberg every single night, 2.5, these guys, the books are hanging. And this is a line to me that's completely underrated, and I don't think they're getting enough credit, Pete.
I mean, I think in general, you could always look at with lines like slow starts, like Hintz was the perfect example, right? We were saying, you know, people were asking, should we drop Hintz? We were saying, you know, hold on a second, wait until Robertson comes back, and then let's see this thing shape out. And sure enough, those guys have been one of the best duos in the league since the day that Robertson came back from injury. So I think that applies to a lot of guys out there that people are frustrated with. Barzell's already starting to turn it around. for the Islanders after only a few games. People were thinking about dropping him last show. Other guys that are really slow so far, like Blake Wheeler, definitely is another one of those guys. Braden Schenn has been ice cold since coming back from injury. But those type of tried and true guys, you really have to be patient. Even Zegras earlier in the season when he was not scoring, that looks crazy in hindsight that people were dropping him, especially if it was a keeper league, because that's what somebody asked about that. Like, how much differently do you view the rankings for keeper leagues after the start of the season? I feel like Zegras is one of those guys that has absolutely skyrocketed, and Jason Robertson as well. I mean, right, that guy is totally taking it, what he did last year, and taking it to even a higher level. I think people were worried about if he could sustain it, but he certainly has done that. So those are two guys in keeper format, Zegras and Robertson, from those lines that you mentioned, Nick, that I would really say that I would prioritize, because these guys have some serious ceilings in the long term.
Full disclosure, I didn't go to bed, by the way. I stayed up, watched the rest of the game. I felt great about life. So that's the important thing. Chris, we've been holding off long enough. We have to get to your team, the Montreal Canadiens. I'm sorry about this. From a fantasy perspective, I'm really, really disappointed in Montreal. The Stanley Cup final, we got a rematch the other night. You and I were going back at it on Twitter. I understand Montreal, but like, what, seven players returning from that Cup final where Tampa just dominated. But like, I don't know how you want to dissect this. Obviously, it's been a disappointing season. It's tough to compare and contrast when there's no Carey Price in the mix, and that's the biggest piece to that puzzle in Montreal. But how would you unwind what we've seen so far in La Belle Province this season, Chris?
A disaster. It's an absolute disaster, man. I don't know where you start. How much time do you guys have? Not a real surprise to me, Pete. I think we did a preview show where we talked about the Habs. It may have been on this show. It may have been over at Dangle Bet Seller or Mean Streets. Vegas gave them 90 point total. It was an easy under. It's just not the same team. You can say that now, but you could have said that in the offseason, right? No Shea Weber, no Joel Edmondson. Those are two guys that played a big part in the playoff run last year. So that's two of your top four defensemen gone. Carey Price, Philip Deneau, one of the best defensive forwards in the NHL, he was a big part of the run that they had, especially against the Leafs and then against Vegas as well. I mean, other guys, just kind of like key players, like Paul Byron, not there, does a lot of stuff like special teams wise. He wasn't there to start the season. And then all the injuries start piling up. And right now Toffoli's out for weeks. Edmondson's not going to come back anytime soon. Josh Anderson's on the shelf. Christian Dvorak hurt himself the last time that they played. I mean, that was one line where they were starting to get some chemistry. The Toffoli, Dvorak, Josh Anderson line was like a one bright spot that they had. And now that trio is just completely gone. Gallagher's on the COVID list. So there's Cole Caulfield had the slow start. To me, I wasn't surprised. I didn't even mention Jeff Petrie. Like, honestly, there are so many guys from this team that are just not there right now. And Pete, the last time we chatted, I said that I thought Petrie was playing through something, and now he's on the shelf. So clearly I think he was playing through an injury to start the season. This is a team that is, I look at them right now, they're what, 30th? Arizona is the only team worse. I can't see them getting any better here. This
Pain
is just going to be
Shane.
Like, right? It's going to be like, play the kids. There was a lot of big voices not there too. So my thinking was, if they started off slow, it could really be a disaster. And that's exactly what we saw. There was no leadership with some of those guys that I mentioned that weren't on that team. So from a fantasy perspective, there's not a whole lot there, honestly. Like Ben Chiarot in a bangers league, he's playing a lot of ice, getting a lot of ice time. He's getting power play time. He's pushing the pace. He's scoring some goals. David Savard is a guy, 2.5, 2.6, maybe Min Price, DK, FanDuel, wherever. He's blocking shots. He's getting the bonuses there. He's trying to push the pace offensively. What I would like to see from Montreal is play the kids, play Jake Evans. Ducharme wants to, shadow him on the wings, kind of protect him, play him at center, just see what he has to offer. Play Caulfield, give him time at 5-on-3. They had a 5-on-3 the other day. He wasn't even on the ice. What the heck is that? play him, play Suzuki, play Romanov on the power play, see what you have in Matthias Nylander. So it is a lot of issues in Montreal, and Pete, I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. And again, I'm not overly shocked with this. They went all in last year. They got a new GM search on the go, and probably a new head coach next year.
Yeah, it was like a perfect storm in a good way last year, like the coaching change and Price playing out of his mind in the playoffs, of course, and then getting some luck in the Vegas series with that botched play by Fleury. And of course, the Tavares injury in the first round against them played a big part in them coming back. But yeah, how rare is it that we entered this season? We talked about it with you, Chris, and on other shows. I remember the sound bites saying that this team was very likely to miss the playoffs. And we were talking about a Stanley Cup finalist. So we were all over it. Not that I like to say we're right saying a team's going to be bad, like, but I was right about the Flyers. I was right about Montreal. You guys were right about Montreal as well. And I think it's interesting when you step back and look at the teams with organizational or coaching changes right now, they're all near the bottom of the standings. Of course, Chicago's down there. Philadelphia, since we last talked, they canned Alain Vigneault. Vancouver, nice uptick, 2-0 since the Boudreau hiring. Yeah, and then Montreal with the GM change, getting Bergevin out of there. So which of those teams do you guys like the best? Is it clear as day, like it is to me, that it's Vancouver, that Vancouver has really something cooking here?
It's clear to me, Pete. I'm jumping in here, okay, because I got a couple things on my mind. Yes, God from above is jumping in.
Ooh, baby.
It's clearly awesome. Vancouver. Last night against Boston, the night before, I mean, I thought those were, I don't want to call them locks because there's no such thing as locks, but I'm just all in on the Boudreau move. And in that division, I think Vancouver has an opportunity to get into the playoffs still. Those other teams you mentioned, I have no interest in looking at or thinking about them obviously making the playoffs. So a little future on Vancouver, Nick, is good for the body right now with Boudreau coming in. And there's a lot of talent on that team. And they have a good goaltender too.
The honeymoon's great, guys. Like, I love these stories. Bruce Boudreau on the ice, he's swearing. Like, we're all happy, you know, great. Two games. Like, I think Vancouver's a good team. I still think they're a flawed team. Oliver Ekman-Larsson's banged up right now. Watching Tyler Myers play hockey sometimes gets me going, gets me red in the face. And, you know, Wednesday night was one of those nights, but I think there's some deficiencies with that team, but I do expect, you know, the initial bump. It is a honeymoon period, so be, you know, a bit leery of that. I want to get to Philadelphia too, guys. Part of that conversation, Pete, to answer your question, it has to be Vancouver. I just like the value in that team. And the most important thing, Thatcher Demko, right? I thought he was great against the Boston Bruins as well. But the numbers, guys, are astounding with Philadelphia. Like, what do you guys do from a fantasy perspective? And Chris, we can start with you when it comes to Philadelphia stock. You know, Claude Giroux, who could be on the move now between now and the deadline, has been a flyer for so long. Sean Couturier has struggled. We thought there was value in this roster, but then next thing you know, they're 0-2-0 under Mike Yeo as we speak, a 10-game losing skid, 0-8-2. 18 goals for, 46 goals against. Like, the numbers are just scary. As Bob shakes his head, nobody can see it.
they're awful. Like, we could make excuses for Arizona and Montreal all we want. Like, there's a lot of issues with those teams and injuries and a lot of turnover. But what's the deal with Philadelphia, right? I mean, how many excuses can you make for the Flyers? No, it's not. It is not at all, Nick. They're bad, man. You and I were back and forth DMing each other yesterday watching the Flyers. I was a silly fool and had some money on them, plus money. I'm like, you know, the Devils are not that great either. They've lost a few games in a row and they've been letting some goals in, but this Flyers team, I mean, I didn't really love a lot of their moves. I thought the Voracek, Cam Atkinson, I thought that was a bit of a sideways move. I mean, maybe more scoring punch with Cam Atkinson. He's a streaky goal scorer. You saw it at the start of the season. He was scoring and he was shooting the puck. And then over the past few days, it's starting to come back into his game a little bit. What are they getting from Kevin Hayes? Nothing. What have they gotten from him really over the couple of years in Philadelphia? I know he's had some injuries, but not a whole lot. JVR is another guy who makes $7+ million. I mean, that guy looks super slow out there trying to keep up with whoever he's playing with, whether it's Couturier or Claude Giroux. I don't know, from a fantasy standpoint, Sean Couturier is the only guy that I feel like, you know, him and Giroux are guys that I would hang on to. But, you know, the Ellis addition, I liked it, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Rasmus Ristolainen is no good for that team. Keith Yandel, like, some of the additions that they made, it's up top. It's not just like Alain Vigneault who they can. It's like, it's, you got to look at the front office and some of the players that they've brought in. So I don't know what kind of shakeup they make. Do they trade a guy like Giroux? Do they trade Couturier would be a great, if anybody was able to get Couturier away from Philadelphia. I still think he's one of the most underrated two-way players in the game and has a lot to offer, but everybody else on that Flyers team, I mean, if I'm a team knocking on the door and saying, hey, maybe I can, you know, take one of these players from me. I don't think I'm interested in any of them, to be honest with you. So from a fantasy standpoint, Pete, I don't know what you do. I think you're patient with Couturier. You probably don't sell on some of these guys because you're not going to get the proper return. So if you don't feel great about Giroux and Couturier long-term, you wait till they go on a bit of a run. And I know that's the hard part. Once they go on a run, you don't want to trade them, but that's the way that the stock is up. That's what you got to do. You can't sell them at a low point. I don't think that they turn things around. Defensively, they're a mess. Offensively, they're not getting anything done. They played a Devils team last night and they hardly generated anything.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty sad. I think that Giroux is having a pretty decent season considering. So Giroux kind of fits that category. I would hold steady with him, hope that he gets traded to a contender, and then maybe we see that uptick there. But Giroux very quietly, 21 points in 24 games this season, pretty strong. A lot of people on Instagram were asking us, is Couturier droppable? One guy said, it stinks to lose him for nothing. And we know that he's a high-end player, but I'm just not getting anything right now. And I don't trust the Flyers. That's what the guy was saying. So can't blame you on either of those counts. I would not drop Couturier unless the right guy is out there. I would try to package him with somebody else and sell him in a trade in fantasy. He's just one of those names that I can't see myself dropping. Even if he's just getting garbage points the rest of the way, I would not drop Couturier unless it was for, you know, someone hot, really hot out there in a shallow league, like a Bunting or a Milano or guys like that. I mean, for a marginal guy, lower tier guy that is not ranked in our top 100 forward list, that's where I would draw the line. I would still keep Sean Couturier for the time being. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely on that front. I think strategy is the name of the game. We always talk about big names, guys who are struggling, and we wonder and ponder what to do. I always say patience is a virtue, and I stick with that. I'd rather a guy struggle around the 25 game mark than struggle around, you know, the 65 to 75 game mark when I need him in my playoffs. And along those lines, Chris, you know, I did joke off the top about you being Mr. Shot Prop. I think strategy is important to talk about on fantasy podcasts. I think people listening out there want to know how to strategize their roster. So from that point of view, how do you strategize players to go after? Like what is your rule of thumb when it comes to props in general, shot props, assist props? What are you looking at on a nightly basis, Chris?
Yeah, you know, there really is a lot of value on assist props, and I've only just kind of come across them this season, just really kind of getting involved. And it's guys like Kadri. Kadri came to mind. I mentioned Granlund earlier, guys that are on top lines. I mean, assists are really tough to call. Like last night, Mikko Rantanen was plus 140 for an assist. He scores two goals. You don't get the assists. It's like, you kind of get burned by that. But I'm looking at top lines. I'm looking at power plays. I'm really looking at power plays when it comes to these shot props and these assist props. I mean, you can go across the league and look at some of these units and see who the trigger guys are, for example, and win Winnipeg, you know that the offense really, if you watch the Jets power play, sometimes they have that pitch and catch with Blake Wheeler and Scheifele down to the side, but really what they want to do is get that puck over across to Kyle Connor. Like that's the volume shooter there. So that's a guy that I take a look at from shot props. And then maybe from an assist value, Scheifele's a guy that I take a look at, also defenseman as well. A lot of these guys are, you know, like an Ekblad or a Darnell Nurse. These guys are playing a lot of minutes and the puck is really kind of going through those players. I mean, Draisaitl and McDavid are awesome. They're fantastic. The Oilers power play is one of the best power plays we've ever seen, right? I mean, operating at 50% a couple weeks ago, they seem to score every time they touch the ice, but for the most part they want to find the guys, like they're the setup guys. So Nurse is having shots from the point, Hyman's kind of parked in front. I'm looking at 5-on-5 numbers. I'm looking at teams like Columbus. Like tonight, we talked about that Ducks trio. Zegras has been shooting. Raquel's a volume shooter as well. Columbus Blue Jackets inside the top five and shot attempts allowed at 5-on-5 per 60. Scoring chances, shots against. I'm looking at those teams that just allow a lot of rubber. So, I mean, I do have a couple guys written down here tonight.
Oh, like baby.
DeBrincat against the Habs, right? This is a Habs team that has allowed 40-plus shots. I think it's like 42 shots per game over their last six games. That's since good. November 1st. Nobody has allowed more shots at 5-on-5 for 60. Mike, if they didn't have Jake Allen, we'd be talking about them even worse than Arizona, I think. But DeBrincat, Raquel, Forsberg, Duchesne, right? Buchnevich has been shooting. Darnell Nurse is probably one of my favorites, as I talked about earlier. But yeah, you know, Pete, I'm looking at guys who get power plays, not just on the power play, but are they the shooters on that power play? And from a assist standpoint, you'd be surprised. A lot of the pass first guys across the league have really good value. I mean, even Stamkos, so you view him as a shooter, you view Pacioretty as a shooter, but when you can get these guys plus 200 for an assist, I mean, that's terrific value. They can fall into an assist, whether it's a shot, a rebound, a goal, a power play, and they're on top line. So assist props, I'm starting to
love it, man.
Pretty interested.
And when you look at shots on goal, I mean, there have been so many great stories here this year. Timo Meier's one, top 10 in the league in shots. Another one who's top 15, 20, Ryan Hartman. Nobody saw this guy coming. Nobody in the industry had Ryan Hartman, guys, whether it was me, you, Nick, you, Chris, Dom, anybody else had Ryan Hartman in their top 200 or 250 entering the season. Yet him and Kaprizov both in the top 20 in shots on goal. So that's a line that I've definitely seen climb our rankings over the course of the season. And Ryan Hartman, another one of those guys like Milano, like Bunting, full-fledged breakout out of nowhere so far this season.
I got the pushback again on Twitter when I asked if the Minnesota Wild are the best team in hockey. So just ponder that as I ask a listener question. We welcome all questions, of course, on Instagram, Twitter. Should I drop Varlamov for Blackwood? Chris, there's normally a lot of questions when it comes to goaltending. That from Jonathan, by the way. Somebody else also asks about Philip Grubauer. Those two guys specifically, Chris, Varlamov and Grubauer, what are we doing with those two guys right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you look at Seattle, I like to look at natural stat trick. I mean, I could have shouted them out too for shots. Like shot attempts are huge too. Not just looking at shots, like look at the guys who have shot attempts. Like Patrick already had 8, I think, the other night on the power play. Yes. Those are things to look at. And looking at natural stat trick at 5-5 per 60, man, this Seattle team's not giving up a whole lot. They're right there with the Bruins and the Flames in terms of just eliminating shot attempts, shots on goal, high danger chances, scoring chances. Just look at Grubauer at 5-5. I mean, he's got one of the worst save percentages in the NHL. I'm willing to kind of give him a pass, even though I don't view him as a top 15 goalie. I think, you know, it all depends on your situation. If you could pick up a Blackwood for him, I would pick him up. I'd probably make that move, but you know, you're probably not selling Grubauer. I view it the same way we were talking about other players. You're kind of selling them at a low point, but you know, if you're sitting there and you're not playing in a saves league, you're hurting right now in the goaltending position with Grubauer. He's really hurting your ratios. So you could move on, maybe get one of those Dallas guys, maybe get a Blackwood, things like that for I don't know, man. These Islanders, Pete, I mean, maybe you could speak to them a little bit more. I was looking at sprinkling a little something at 50-1 for them to win the cup. I mean, the past couple of years have been one win away from getting there. Just a lot of injuries as well. A team that I do expect to turn it around just a little bit. They finally ended the 11-game losing streak against the Sens the other night. I would hang on to Varlamov. I would hang tight with him, but I do like Blackwood. I don't think he should be on the waiver wire. I think he's a great player in DFS because he gets a lot of saves. Those count. So if you're in a points league where, you know, saves are important, you could make that Grubauer switch if you wanted to. But I think I would hang on just because some of the 5-on-5 numbers say that this Seattle team isn't as bad as expected. No, they're not going to score a lot of goals, but maybe they can turn it on here in the second half. And maybe, you know, Driedger gets in there and they go through a 1-2 punch. Maybe that'll help Grubauer out a little bit, Pete.
Right. Driedger got that win when they won at Florida. And I think that Driedger is going to get some more work here because Grubauer has not deserved to be the full-time number one clear cut anymore. I would drop Grubauer in fantasy. I would, in some cases, drop Varlamov. Like if Thatcher Demko's out there, I'd get Thatcher Demko and drop Varlamov. I would not drop Varlamov for Mackenzie Blackwood. That's where I would draw the line. Another drop/trade, I guess, question involving the Dallas situation. People were asking, would you rather have Thatcher Demko or Jake Oettinger? I really like Oettinger. I'm just worried that now another guy's in the picture, right? Like Ben Bishop's getting this AHL conditioning assignment. Dallas is playing really well over the past 2 weeks. What are they really doing with these goaltenders? What's the spin here, other than maybe a negative one when you're talking about any of them individually for fantasy, right? Like I'd probably rather have Oettinger on one of my teams. He's been amazing. Near undefeated, but I'd probably rather have Thatcher Demko at this point. Do you agree, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you got to go with the guy who's going to get the starts, right? And every what do we project for him the rest of the way? I mean, he's going to get probably 70% of those starts in Vancouver, and we're talking about Ben Bishop coming back and Braden Holtby, who's been okay at times. Not great last night in the third, but he's been okay. A lot better than last year, certainly with the Canucks, but you got Ottinger there. So it's a complete mess. I know they're trying to trade maybe one of them. Maybe they can move one of those guys, but I don't see a team knocking on the door for Holtby or for Ben Bishop. So this is going to be, I think, just a carousel. Maybe they send Ottinger down, but maybe they come to a conclusion, Pete, where they're like, or Nick, they're like, you know what? Listen, this is Ottinger. We're playing good hockey now. He's been the better goalie. We understand that Bishop has a lot of experience, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So I think maybe they can, you know, maybe in a couple months, it could be Ottinger's net. But Nick, I got to go with the guy who's playing every day in Thatcher Demko. And, you know, he's shown us a whole lot over the past couple of years that he could be a top 10 goalie in fantasy.
Yeah, Demko's an absolute stud, again, with the coaching change too. And I was just going to add that, like, I think it's incredible. In 2 months from now, we can be speaking and both Jake Ottinger and Jeremy Swayman could be in the American Hockey League because of 17 goalie systems that we're seeing in this league right now, because Tuukka Rask is going to sign, like, it's inevitable. And we'll break that down over the next little while for sure. But we wanted to leave you with this. Do you got any plays over the next couple of days tonight that you're looking at? I know you dropped some of your shot props, which we love, but you like any team specifically here?
Well, you talked about the Wild. I think you can make a case for them being one of the best teams in the NHL. They're on the road tonight against the Sharks. I'm seeing Caesars offering minus 145. But, you know, what we did last night with Colorado over at FTN when they were heavy favorites on the money line, I think they were like minus 165, minus 170. You could get them to win in regulation at plus 110. You could do the same thing here tonight with the Minnesota Wild, plus 105 over at DraftKings. Now, if that game goes to overtime, you won't get that bet. So they do need to win in regulation. But, man, I really like what I've seen from the Wild. I think Cam Talbot's one of the better goalies in the league. Last year, he was a steal. And this year, nobody was really talking about him either in fantasy. I mean, this guy has been legit for the Wild over the past couple of seasons. To talk about Ryan Hartman, he has been a surprise, a shot prop darling for us over at FTN as well, has just moved finally over to 3.5 plus money. But Kaprizov is great. Zuccarello's finally starting to get into a groove, and we love Joel Eriksson Ek, I think, all of us on this show as well. So the Wild are interesting to me, like the Ducks against the Blue Jackets. And there was one other one, like maybe back the Kings here, home dogs here. Dallas played last night, plus 120 for LA. I think I can get behind that one as well.
So definitely follow Chris on Twitter at Chris Meany, all his good work at FTN Network, FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets, FTN Daily, Bets Media. Go and follow those handles for whatever format and props or fantasy format you play. And we appreciate your time as always, Chris. Look forward to hopping on your show again soon. And thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Pete, Nick, always a pleasure. Bob, fantastic. Nice to hear the voice of reasoning, right? Talking about the Canucks. No, appreciate you guys. Thanks as always for the invite. Keep crushing it.
Pete, I got a fantastic contract year question for the both of us, inspired over social media. You know, I'm big on contract years. What are you thinking here? So Tomas Hertl, I had in my notes, by the way, 4 goals in the last 2 games, 12 on the season. He's starting to cook. Or do you go to Andre Palat? Who of the two do you like, Pete?
That's tough. I mean, I do not see Tampa Bay Lightning trading Andre Palat, whereas if the Sharks do fall out of it, and I think if a team like Vancouver is going to heat up, if Anaheim is going to sustain this, you're probably going to see teams like the Sharks and the Kings bow out at some point. So if the Sharks bow out, do they trade Hertl? They probably should, rather than signing him to anything longer term. So I do think there's that glimmer with Hertl. Of course, he scored a hat trick the other day. The Sharks have been a great story. I'd probably rather have Tomas Hertl, especially with those major injuries in Tampa. Tampa's going to get their guys back healthy for the playoffs. They're going to be a force as usual with Kucherov and or Point, or maybe both. But for the regular season, I'd probably lean Tomas Hertl for all those reasons I just said. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm exactly right there with you. I think the prospects, like, San Jose's had a great season, and I documented the numbers. California in general has played above their head so far. But I think you look at the prospects of Hertl being dealt by the trade deadline, I would definitely take a look at that. I think he winds up maybe on a top line of a bona fide contender. I'm sure the Toronto Maple Leafs, a team that would definitely be involved. You know, the Pittsburgh Penguins, list your team who needs a top 6 winger. I think they'd be all over Hertl. And I think that's great to finish off with Tampa in general. You know, a lot of guys, I said this a couple of weeks back, John Cooper is just so king at getting the most out of all his players. They lose their third line. It doesn't matter. I've been so impressed with the newfound third line of youngsters, Boris Kachuk, Ross Colton, Taylor Radish. They're ripping it up. First NHL goals left and right. There's just so much value. They know how to mature their prospects. I want to give a shout out to John Cooper and company there in Tampa. The numbers are astounding, and they're not surprising because it is Tampa, but you lose your two best players and you still truck right along at a pretty damn good percentage. I'm impressed, and it's hard to impress Nick Alberga, but since losing Kucherov, 14-4-4 as we speak here on this Thursday, since losing .71-1, I spoke to guys playing above their head. How about Scorey Perry? I love to call him that. The last eight games, he has 6 goals, 2 assists, 8 points, 2 power play points, 1 game-winning goal, 24 shots on goal. Again, you get the point. It just seems like they know how to seize the moment. It doesn't matter who you are on Tampa's roster. They bring their game to where they need to. And I just been so impressed with that team again this year, Pete.
Harry's not in our top 200 rankings, but yeah. I might actually consider adding that guy if he keeps it up, because
that's value.
He's been really good each of the past two or three playoffs, and now he's on the Lightning where they have clear holes. So even if he's on, you know, third or fourth line, whatever it is, he's seeing big minutes and he's going to cash in more times than not. It's just amazing without those two guys and without the depth that they had in years past. Like, I was looking at their shooting percentage plus save percentage, second in the NHL behind the Washington Capitals. And normally you look at that as a category as, okay, this team's bound to regress. When a team is number two in the NHL without two of their best players. And, you know, that's just a sign that the system is so strong. These guys are overachieving because they're getting bigger roles because other guys are out. Of course, still the amazing production of Stamkos and Hedman, Vasilevsky, all the way up to a .927 save percentage on the season. But that stat is so telling because it's like everybody else is just up the ante and playing very well despite these circumstances working against them.
Okay, Thursday night, 10-game slate.
Let's go, baby.
Actually, looking at the board, it's actually a very exciting night of hockey. Some pretty good matchups. So real quick, couple picks for tonight, and then we'll do a little peek ahead to the to service the folks listening to the podcast on Friday and Saturday. We're going to touch on a little bit of stuff, look into our crystal ball, a little bit of a stretch pass, if you will, a little two-line pass action, and look ahead to Friday, Saturday, see if anything's catching our eye, not even from a gambling standpoint, just from a fan perspective, fantasy perspective. But for Thursday night, we start with Peter. What's catching your eye, buddy?
Yeah, I like the way the Islanders are trending. I like them to beat the Predators and finally get that first win at UBS Arena at home against Nashville. I like whether it's a prop, like a goal prop or an assist prop, ride the hot hand with the Sonny Milano train against his former team. Nick, you love those revenge storylines.
Yeah, I do.
I know that when Milano exited Columbus, he had good things to say, but you know that was an up and down situation there through the years. So I think he's going in there, you know, with some good vibes after the other day. So I like him to score a goal, keep this thing going. And then, you know, as you look a little bit deeper down, I think that the Minnesota Wild are a really nice play against the San Jose Sharks on the road. As much as I like what Hurdle and Timo Meier have done, I'm a little worried about the goaltending there. Like James Reimer, they were saying he had a non-COVID illness. Then he was out the other day. He didn't even back up. So they're playing Aiden Hill a lot. I think that is a Minnesota Wild potential reality check game for the San Jose Sharks. So yeah, I think that could be maybe a puck line play for Minnesota on the road against the Sharks.
Like what you're saying there, definitely looking at a lot of overs lately for San Jose. I had them in the over against the Calgary Flames the other night. I have three plays that I'm looking at to piggyback off your Sonny Milano look. I'm looking at under 6 for the Anaheim Columbus game. And the reason being that Columbus, who had a really, really good start to this season, has been surrendering goals left and right. That's 11 over the last two games. Anaheim's a team in a busy week, and I'll get to them momentarily as well, but a 5-game week, this is game 3 for them. I think slowing the play down would be beneficial to their long-term success. So I'm expecting a low-scoring game in that one between Anaheim and Columbus. Tampa and Toronto, I just pimped Tampa, so I got to go with them against Toronto. And I like the under. It's Vasilevsky against Campbell in that game. But I think you just look at the fact that Tampa's got a bitter taste in their mouth from last time they went to Toronto and blew the lead, then lost in overtime. So they always seem to be a team that bounces back after a disappointing defeat. I know it's a while back. It's like a month ago, but they remember those type of games against interdivisional foes. So I like Tampa. And lastly, I like St. Louis and the over against Detroit. Part of it's because I don't know who's going to start in goal. The Blues are really, really banged up. I still think they're a better team than Detroit. And Detroit's coming back to reality a bit, not to mention as well, about a week ago, Detroit beat St. Louis 4-2. So I think we're going to see a bit of revenge here, Bobby.
Wow. Nick, with a lot of picks. I mean, I thought maybe you had one or two, but
you told me to do my homework. So I did, Bob. I don't know what you want.
Hey, listen, we provide the audience with winners. All right. Peek ahead. It's the two line pass. It's the stretch pass. If anybody has a name for this little bit that we're going to do on Thursdays, as we look ahead to Friday, which is I think there's like 9 games on Friday, which is a little rare. Up. What are we looking DFS, fantasy storylines, Pete, what's catching your eye for Friday, Saturday?
Well, I mean, I think that definitely the Rangers will bounce back against the Sabres. We've seen good stuff from Georgiev. We haven't seen good things from Buffalo. They kept the game low scoring the other day, but they were plastered on all the highlight reels with the Zegras-Milano thing, of course, happening against them. They have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen up from the AHL, who's been decent down there. But I like the Rangers. That was what happened against the Avalanche, second of a back-to-back. The Avs were in the city. The Rangers were in Chicago the night before. They were on their third string goalie. I think the Rangers have proven that they're one of the best teams in the league this year. And that was just a blip on their radar. So look for the Rangers to bounce back in a big way. You got Sid Ovi on Friday night, ESPN Plus. So that's going to be an exciting one for sure. And then, I think with Vancouver, I don't think people we are saying that Vancouver is going to turn this thing around to an extent, but some people are really especially in the analytics community. I was looking at Dom's updated playoff percentage odds, and it said something like 99% chance that the Canucks missed the playoffs. I mean, I disagree with that. And even with the Islanders, they were at only about 13% chance to miss the playoffs. And again, we'll have Dom on again. We've had him on before. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree. But I think that that is overlooking two teams that I really think that either the Canucks or the Islanders, one of them at least, will come back and storm back and make the playoffs this year. What do you think, Nate?
You always wonder how to quantify the analytics portion of it. Certainly, I think, the 3-point system comes into hand in focus too. And I think there is still time to make up. I think when you look at the Islanders specifically, there is time to make up. So I'm not sure how much I'll read into that. I think if you get cooking, you have any shot, just like anybody else. We'll get to my place, Pete. I have a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday one. There you go, Bob. Well informed, the homework, baby. I'm tailing you on the Rangers puck line play. I think there's going to be the over in that game. I think they're going to be all kind of fired up. Maybe you look at a point prop for Jacob Trouba. Artemi Panarin has 15 points in the last 8 games. Then we move forward to Saturday night, where I think the losing streak will finally come to a close for Philadelphia. And I'm saying that already, saying that they're going to lose to Vegas on Friday. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. So I like obviously Philadelphia in that game at Arizona, Boston at Calgary, Dan Vladar revenge game. My anticipation, they're going to play Vladar again after he won 4-0 in Boston a couple of weeks back. I like the reverse revenge in that game where Boston's going to exact some revenge on him. And then Sunday night, Anaheim at St. Louis, game 5 of 7 in the week. I like the Blues money line, Bob.
Very nice. Hey, I think it's also time, like you mentioned, to start eyeing the Flyers to win a game here under the new coach. That. And the prices are getting out of hand. I don't think, like you said, it's against Vegas, but Saturday, right? That would be something I'm looking at. But appreciate it, boys. Put a bow on it, Peter. What else you got?
I'll go against the grain there. I'll say that, I think that Shane Gostisbehere is going to add to Philly's woes. I could see Gostisbehere having a 3-point game and the Coyotes adding to Philly's demise here. So I'll go Gostisbehere revenge game in that game against Philly. So great to be here with you, Nick and Bob. Thanks again to Chris Meaney for joining us. Hit us up all weekend long at the Golden Muzzy for Nick on Twitter and Instagram at NHL Jensen for myself and at Chris Meaney again from FTN Network. So we'll talk to you on Monday, NHL Fantasy on Ice with James Harding and week 10 of the season, waiver wire pickups. There's going to be a lot changing over the weekend. So stick with us, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for tuning in.